Welcome into the WGR Fantasy Football Podcast. It's been a while, about a month since free agency. We had a podcast a little bit after free agency happened. It's been a little bit since the draft and wanted to get a post-draft episode in here on the website and our on-demand audio at WGR550.com, which is brought to you by Northwest Bank. Make the switch to Northwest and get back to living. I am Joe DiBiase. I am joined here currently by my brother, Lou DiBiase.
What's going on?
We will be joined shortly by Nick Lozanowski, who will also be part of the podcast going forward throughout the season. Post-draft, a lot of topics to get to, a lot of Bills questions to get to, especially with fantasy football. And, you know, we're starting to lay the groundwork for drafts. Some people, if you're really, really into it, they're already doing their prep. Yep. I know I started my prep last week.
I started listening to podcasts already, getting ready for it. It's summer. After draft season, you pretty much start fantasy football, because unless you really care a lot about the OTAs, you're getting into fantasy.
What? Exactly. How is a fan? How's a fan even pay attention to OTAs? It doesn't happen. Yeah. Right. You read the beat reporters and like, oh, well, Josh Allen looked good in shorts today. Shocker. Like, it's that kind of stuff. There's nothing concrete. And, you know, that's kind of with fantasy, too, though, because it's a lot of coach speak right now. And we're listening to what these coaches are saying and what these beat, like, Amir Abdullah. This week it comes out that Amir Abdullah could be cut coming up because this beat reporter thinks that it's going to be Kerryon Johnson and LeGarrette Blount getting all the carries in Detroit. So it's that season. It's, all right, who do you, are you believing this? Are you believing that? Is this coach just talking, or is he actually telling the truth?
So we have to deal with smoke screens even after the draft.
Right. It's fantasy smoke screen season. Right. So let's start things off with the rookies. I mean, why not? We haven't talked draft since it happened, and this has, by all accounts, been, I mean, it's been talked up as one of the best rookie running back classes in the past decade. You've got Barkley, you've got Darius Geis, Rashad Penny, Kerryon Johnson, Sony Michel, Nick Chubb. There's so many of them, and I know we off-air, actually a couple days ago, we had an argument about like where we would rank these rookie running backs.
Right.
Because obviously, talent-wise, it's going to be completely different from where they are as their fantasy, like where they landed as a fantasy situation. So personally, I think everyone's going to have Saquon Barkley one. In terms of, we're just talking the rookie running backs right now. Like,
yeah.
He is the best one. He's the most talented. The Giants picked him second overall for a reason. But like, if we even expanded that though to overall rankings, where would you see Saquon Barkley falling? Because we're in a two-player keeper league together. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit different. Like, he's definitely going one overall, so that's going to change things. He's a rookie, and it's kind of the third round in a situation like that in a redraft league. First round, second round. Maybe early third. Like, what are we talking here for Saquon Barkley? Right now, average draft position, he is going 12th overall as the ninth running back.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, Barkley's still first-round pick for me, even in just a basic fantasy league, if it's not keepers. Because, you know, when you place a value for a running back at second overall, that's the guy you're going with. And it's a different situation. You know, you have Jonathan Stewart behind him. It's not going to be like last year in Carolina where Stewart was still the guy with McCaffrey behind him. You know, Barkley's going to do a lot of the same things McCaffrey did in the receiving game, but he's also going to be the workhorse runner. And, you know, it's a PPR league now. You know, most fantasy leagues are at least half point PPR. That's the normal standard now, basically. And Barkley is so good in that area that he's going to command a top, you know, you said what his ADP is at 12?
12. Right now he's going as the ninth running back.
Yeah.
Talking Saquon Barkley here. He's going ninth right behind Melvin Gordon and Leonard Fournette.
I'd rather have him than Gordon.
Right before Dalvin Cook and Devontae Freeman.
I think he's right in that mix. But honestly, the only guy I would rather, I mean, out of the names you listed, the only player I'd rather have over Barkley is probably Dalvin Cook.
Nick Lozanowski, also here. Nick, do you got thoughts on Saquon Barkley?
I think his strength is as a receiving back. He's not, stat that I hearken back to from last year where I think out of like his last eight Big Ten games, he only ran for more than 100 yards like once. So he's a playmaker, which serves well in
Iowa, though. It's hard to run on Iowa. Dude, Big Ten is great defense. We're not talking Big 12 here.
Rutgers is still in the Big Ten.
If you get return points, too, I doubt the Giants use him as a returner. He did that, too, at Penn State.
Maybe he's a rookie. Yeah. You never know.
Yeah, they did with Beckham as a rookie. Beckham as a rookie played as a returner.
Des Bryant return punts as a rookie despite being a first-round pick? So
yep. So it could happen.
That surprises me.
Unless you really have...
You return him in college, too.
Yeah, unless you have a league, though, that's going to reward yards, you're probably... I mean, you'd be lucky to get, like, two touchdowns on the year of kick return.
Let's talk about the quarterback,
if there is
too.
Kickoffs.
Right, yeah. I mean, you look at the quarterback, too, and Eli Manning. His yards per attempt, it just seems like, you know, I don't know the stats in front of me, but it gets lower and lower. His boldness as a quarterback, you know, that's why, I mean, Odell Beckham, let's be honest, has extended Eli's career, and I don't I really think Saquon Barkley is going to make him even more conservative this year, and I know there's a lot of weapons in that offense with Shepard, Ingram, and Beckham too, but, you know, Saquon Barkley is going to be Eli's best friend, and with how Eli's play has deteriorated, I like Barkley there too, because I think Eli has looked shorter and shorter over the years, and I think Barkley, he's going to have that option in the backfield, and I think he's going to use it, especially with a bad offensive line. He's going to have to get the ball out quick a lot of the time.
So I think we've certainly established Barkley is the runaway favorite as the number one rookie running back for this upcoming season. Like, he's got that backfield. He should have that backfield locked down in New York, and by all accounts, he's the most talented of these running backs.
Yeah.
Then there starts to be some debate for number two. I have a guy as my second-ranked rookie running back that I don't think a lot of other people do. I personally think it's Ronald Jones out of USC, and most of that to me is landing spot. I think he lands in Tampa Bay where he is the clear-cut number one running back, because right now they've got him and it's Charles Sims and Jaquizz Rodgers. Jaquizz Rodgers is kind of a journeyman at this point. Charles Sims is just a third-down, you know, pass catching back, so maybe he'll steal a little bit of receptions away. I think Ronald Jones is the number two, although I can see arguments for Darius Geis, Rashad Penny, Kerryon Johnson. I know, Lou, you might throw another name in the mix that I would not put in that argument for number two, but I think Ronald Jones is the second best rookie running back for fantasy drafts.
I've seen Jones compared to Alvin Kamara come out of the draft when he gets into open space.
We're going to talk Alvin Kamara later, too, by the way. I'm very excited about Alvin Kamara. Hmm.
Jones is more of a running back that can take a full load too, so they can use him as a first and second down back and then bring in one of those two other guys for third down.
Yeah.
That's, I think, going to, so he'll be a workhorse. He's always been. He's been in high school, he's been in college, and there's no reason he shouldn't bring that with him to the pros unless durability concerns become an issue, which you can't really predict.
And we're talking redraft here. Like, if it was Dynasty, maybe I wouldn't have the same opinion where I would think Jones is second. But, like, if we're talking, like, a redraft league, I think on the short term, like, he has the clearest path to me to be, like, a low-end running back.
Because he's going to have the most touches. Like, that's the thing. It's not just about talent in fantasy. You want – I mean, that's why a guy like Royce Freeman, in my opinion, is going to be someone that's viable in fantasy, even though –
Denver?
Yeah, when it comes to talent, he's, you know – top 10, but he's not compared to a guy like Saquon Barkley or Darius Geis. But there's, you know, it's about opportunity too, and that's why you look at a guy like Rashad Penny. He's, like you said, a player is going to get pretty much all the touches in Seattle. So I like the Jones pick too, because he has the value, you know, he's got the workload, and he's a talented player. I could have saw him being a fringe first round pick. My number two though is Geis, based on its talent. He has that entire backfield. You know, Thompson's going to get some touches in the passing game, but I like Darius Geis in Washington. He was the seventh running back taken in this draft, and honestly, I thought he was the second most talented. The fact that he fell to the second round mind boggles me, and I think it's going to be a good value to get him maybe second or third round. I think Washington's going to use him a lot, especially what do they got in the receiving game? You know, they added Paul Richardson in the offseason. You got
Josh
Dotson.
Is Geis a running back, though, that's going to be catching like 50 balls a year?
I think Geis has a really good receiving ability. He showed it at LSU. Geis is viable in all fantasy leagues.
Remember, Chris Thompson, though, still there.
Yeah.
Still there and should still be productive. He got hurt last year.
Yeah.
Right?
Before he got hurt, he was a running back one last season.
Yes.
Like, he was a top 10 running back before he got hurt.
But he's also the type of player that you can split out wide. A lot of his fantasy points came from receiving. So, I mean, they could both be on the field at the same time.
Yeah, that's true. And that could help Geis, too, because it's not a guy that's going to come in.
Then Geis, I mean, you know, football's weird, right, where you can go and you can have a screen pass called for Thompson on the outside and then Alex Smith decides to check it to a run play. Like, you know what I mean? Just having them both out there is just a benefit. But I think Jones is just as talented. as really anyone else in this draft aside from Barkley.
So I'm glad we mentioned Geis. He's my third-ranked rookie. I'm going to jump the conversation, though, to my sixth-ranked rookie because I know me and Lou have a differing opinion on this. I'm interested to see where Nick falls on this. And it's Sony Michel. And personally, I thought he was the – I think he's the second-best running back talent-wise in this draft.
I agree.
I watched him last year at Georgia, not a ton, but a little bit. And, like, that guy just screams dynamic talent to me. Like, I
wasn't
think
even used to his fullest extent because of Chubb in the backfield, too.
But that's my thing. I'm not sure. I don't think he's going to be used to his fullest extent. Mm-hmm. I will never trust the New England Patriots with their running backs in terms of fantasy football. Especially, there is zero precedent for a running back going into that offense and being the feature back. It doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen because of the talent they've had back there. They haven't really prioritized the position early on in the draft, and they haven't spent big money on it. So, yeah, you're going to rotate guys like James White and Rex Burkhead and Deion Lewis because the talent separation between those guys isn't huge. But with Sony Michel, they placed a first-round pick on him. They haven't done that since Lawrence Maroney in 2005. And to me, yeah, you can do running back by committee until if you find an elite prospect, like with Dallas Cowboys. They had, behind Ezekiel Elliott, they had Alfred Morris and Darren McFadden, two former starters. But the minute Zeke comes in and just starts tearing up the league, the other guys don't really see the field that often. To me, that's going to be the same effect in New England with Michel, is because he is so dynamic as a runner and as a passer. Georgia didn't really use him as a passer a lot, and he has that Le'Veon Bell effect in the passing game.
It's not quite the same, though, because the Cowboys picked Elliott third.
I mean, like, sure, New England pick on him, though.
Yeah, sure, but that very late first round.
But the last time they picked, even took a guy, you know, mid rounds was Shane Vereen.
And the other thing,
like,
with
4 or 5 years ago.
The other reason I don't like New England's Atlantic spot, not just because of their running backs. If you could be a first round pick in New England, if you're not keeping up on the playbook, if Bill Belichick doesn't, or Josh McDaniels doesn't like the way you're pass protecting, like, they are going to pull you.
Good
they
thing Sonny Michel's one of the best pass protectors.
I know,
of
but
these
what I'm
backs.
Saying is if he is coming along slowly, that is the team that is not afraid to say, we are not playing him just
you're
because
scared
he's
of the
a
doghouse
round
effect.
Pick.
You're
sure.
scared of the doghouse
yeah,
effect.
Yeah, because people can very easily get in that doghouse. And it's not like the Patriots have done, like, very well drafting offensive weapons, and it's more so receiver than running back. They've just had zero success drafting wide receiver. They drafted second round receivers a few times in the past couple years, and they kind of stunk on all of them.
They tried with Gillislee last season to invest in the running back position, and he
got in the doghouse very quickly.
Yeah,
there's such a talent gap, though, between Sony Michel and
there's such a talent
Mike
gap,
Gillislee.
But, like, for you to say that they haven't tried to get that feature back, they definitely tried.
I mean, with a lot of money and high draft picks, they've kind of rotated the same fringe, you know, kicking the tires on players. Even Gillislee, that wasn't a huge investment. You know, after one game, they pretty much didn't really use him. I think Sony Michel is not going to be the same, where they have a lot of stock in Sony Michel. So if he struggles in week 3, you're not going to just not see him until week 10. I think it's different now based on the value they placed on him. And I just think he's going to be a star in the league. And, you know, Joe talked about the doghouse effect. And, you know, that's why, like, you look at Deion Lewis last year. He was really only an impactful player in the second half of the year. Still, though, in most leagues, he finishes the 17th ranked running back, despite having 35% of the touches all year in the backfield. 17. So he was a top 20 back, close to a top 15. To me, Sony Michel is better than Deion Lewis. They're going to use him more. That, to me, draws up for maybe a fringe top 10 back maybe in fantasy football this year. So I'm a bigger fan. He's my three
right
now on this list.
They're just so unpredictable, and the backfield is already crowded with guys that they also put value on. They're not super talented, but those are guys that the organization values, and New England will pick guys – their guys, quote, the Patriot way guys.
True.
Over
but Burkhead and White have almost no impact in the running game.
But they're all
used simply as receivers.
But that's a lot of the pass game. And if we want Michel to be a top 10 back, he is going to need to have those receiving numbers, especially in a PPR or a half-point PPR league. Like, to be a top 10 running back, you have to be a big factor in the pass game. And it's going to be hard to do that when they have two other really solid
receiving backs. He's better at it, though, than the other two.
Is he? Rex Burkhead is a really good pass back receiver.
James White caught 13 passes in a Super Bowl?
James White almost caught 100 passes last year, I think.
Sony Michel is a more talented receiver than both of those players. I think they're going to use him. I think he's going to be a workhorse there, especially they lost a lot of weapons this year. They lost Brandon Cooks. You know,
Well, the other thing you have to account for is even if Michel does go through the season and he is their number one running back, you are going to have a couple games where he does nothing. and you're going to start him, and you're going to sit there, and he's going to have one point. Because what there will be those moments, like remember with Jonas Gray a couple years ago, where he plays one game, and he gets 40 fantasy points, and he gets all these carries and touchdowns. Like, there will be those games, because you have those bodies. Gillislee, for now, is still there in that backfield. Jeremy Hill is there. You still have Burkhead. You still have James White. Brandon Bolden's a special team guy who they have given carries to. Like, they have six other running backs.
But you see the type of players we're talking carries. About? Like, you had to we mentioned Jonas Gray. I don't think Sony Michel saying. And Jonas Gray should be in the
but
same
But that's
combo.
My point. Jonas Gray is a nobody, and they featured him for like 40 carries
because
in
the
entire
what
game.
Else because they
don't
the
care.
What else
they
do they
don't,
have at the position?
My point is they do not care where you came from and where you were drafted.
They're
going to give you a shot.
They show now that they care by taking a running back in the first round, though.
Everything you're saying, Lou, is true. Aside, and I would agree with it, except for the fact that it's happening in New England. That just makes me unsure. And it makes me unsure where, like, I wouldn't draft him as high as maybe he should go just out of fear. It's like,
you could be right. You could be right, and Michelle could be their featured running back this year. But I don't trust that. I don't trust it. I don't trust the Patriots to do it. Whereas I'm looking at a guy like Ronald Jones, and the reason he's my two over a guy like Michelle is I pretty much know he's going to get a lot of looks this season. They just don't have other bodies. The Patriots have proven that they'll give carries to other guys, and even if they don't, they still have a bunch of other mouths to feed there that will get looks. Like, even if he's the feature back, he's not going to be a workhorse. I just can't. I'd be very surprised if he
James White had 40 carries last year, and Rex Burkhead had 64. I don't think those two are threats to take away carries. In the receiving game, it's different, but there's no threat to take carries away from them. I understand
fantasy opportunities.
That, but
the modern day NFL run play is really the swing pass out to the running back. That's really the modern day NFL run play, and that's.
And Tom Brady trusts James White more even than Burkhead. Burkhead played kind of, if you notice more towards the end of the season, it looked like he really missed that Edelman spot, and Burkhead kind of played a lot of slot receiver. But like when it was third down and they needed a few yards, Brady every single time had James White standing next to him. Like, that's clearly a guy that, they're on the same page. They get each other. And if Tom Brady is getting frustrated with a rookie, he's going to be yelling at the coaches, too, get James White in here. I'm enough. I'm not telling him what to do. Get James White in here. Get Rex Burkhead on the field. I'm not dealing with this right now.
It's kind of just a questionable draft pick in general by the Patriots. Like, why would you take
a position you already have five guys with?
Five guys that are productive. They're not elite talent players, but
they also don't run the ball.
It works. You know
like
what I mean?
100 times a game.
It works. So why?
I think we're overvaluing Rex Burkhead and James White a little bit here.
Not in that system.
No. I'm not overvaluing them as players. I'm overvaluing their spot in that system. Like they clearly have.
You guys
value
are going
there.
Off the notion that because in the past they've used a running back by committee approach, that now even though they took a running back in the first round, that they're going to stick with that approach. And I don't see it that way. I think now it's going to be more of a feature back role with Michelle because so Rex Burkhead and James White, they can both catch the ball. I think Michelle does it better, and he's a better talent, so they don't need to take him off the field. Like if they had a player like LeGarrette Blount, you know, where it's, he makes no impact in that, so we have to have a Darren Sproles there. Michelle covers all those needs, and if he's producing, they're not going to say, well, we also have another guy that can catch the ball, so let's bring him in here.
If I'm the Patriots, I'm also interested in keeping Michelle healthy long-term, and the running back position can be tough in the NFL.
Didn't he get hurt last year, Michelle? Isn't he coming off a knee injury?
He has knee arthritis that some scouts were concerned with.
I would say, though, like...
Where would you rank him of these rookie running backs? I have him sixth. I have him behind Barkley, Jones, Geis, Rashad Penny in Seattle, and Kerryon Johnson in Detroit. Lou has him higher.
But why are we not scared of Kerryon Johnson in Detroit when there's three other running backs that could threaten his touches? With LeGarrette Blount, Theo Riddick's going to get the ball all the time.
The reason
and
is...
Amir Abdullah.
The reason is because the reports are out there that Abdullah's going to get cut. And Theo Riddick is not going to be a big part of that running game. It's going to be Blount, and it's going to be Kerryon Johnson. And if that's the case, and I'm a big receptions guy now with running backs, like if you don't catch passes, I'm not really looking at you very hard. And if it's going to be mostly Blount and Kerryon Johnson, I have to think that Kerryon Johnson's going to be the guys getting these passing down plays.
But Theo Riddick's not? This is my point.
The report is
you
he's
just
not.
Used basically the same argument with me for Sony Michel. I said Sony Michel's going to get most of the receivers. He's a receiver. He has the ability to do it. You said, but no, Rex Burkhead and James White
the
are going to get a lot of that. Not Theo Riddick.
From Tim Twentyman, who is the beat reporter for Lions.com, he says that the backfield is going to mostly be LeGarrette Blount and Kerryon Johnson. That's why I'm going
back to Michel, though, in the Patriots, like, if he it's I don't think anyone's questioning that he has that talent, but if you have a player like James White or even Rex Burkhead that has shown that they can catch third down passes and be equally as effective, then why not preserve Michelle for first and second down?
Sure.
And keep him healthier for the season or for seasons beyond. I mean, this is it could also be a long-term play from the Patriots.
So because if a player doesn't have injury history, I don't think it's you're playing scared if you're just slowly easing him into it.
DeMarco Murray didn't have a real injury history, and then the Cowboys ran him into the ground in one season.
So would you put Michelle over Kerryon Johnson or Rashad Penny?
No.
Would you put him over?
Just because of uncertainty, though. It's not even like,
yeah, sir.
It's not,
that's
it's not
my
even
point.
Like the spot, like the spot in New England, is great because of playmakers.
If he was
on
in Tampa
offense.
Bay, I might be sitting here telling you he'd be my number one. Like he'd
I
be, he'd
I
be
don't
close
get the love
to Barkley
for Johnson, but not for Michelle.
It's the spot. Just, I'd rather have the guy in Detroit than New England.
Honestly, I think LeGarrette Blount and Theo Riddick are bigger threats for touches than Rex Burkhead and James White. That's my opinion. I think I don't know. I'm banking on Michelle here.
Let's talk about some of the later rookies. I think we pretty much know that, like, though that there's that top group, and you would both agree that Penny and Johnson and maybe Shythro Chubb in here, they're part of that top group.
I was a little surprised Penny went in the first round, but he's going to get all the touches. The Seattle, they want to go back to that smash mouth football, and really, you look at outside of Doug Baldwin, what do they have in the passing game now?
The thing that scares about me about Penny, of course, is their offensive line is still dreadful. Yeah. So that still worries me. But, like, those are all guys that are getting drafted. And I think Royce Freeman is probably a guy that's getting drafted, but he would be later. So I'm going to group him in this later group. I got three later running backs that I like. It's Royce Freeman out of Denver, and I like the two guys in Indianapolis, Hines and Wilkins. They were both Hines is a fourth-round pick, and Wilkins is a fifth-round pick. And those two guys are coming in, and it's kind of similar to, like, I don't really know anything really about them as prospects, but they are coming in to a spot where it's just them two, and it's Marlon Mack. And that's it. And somebody's got to be that starting running back. And it could be a committee, but, you know, the way Indianapolis has played it the past couple years, Frank Gore, even like last year, when Frank Gore wasn't playing well, it didn't happen a lot, but like Marlon Mack was getting play after play after play after play. They kind of use their running back in bunches.
And the offense should be better this year.
As long as Luck is back.
Right.
So I agree with that. If Luck is back, I think one of these two rookie guys has the potential to be really good. It's tough for me to guess who, though, because they picked him so close together. Naheem Hines in the fourth round, and then Wilkins out of Ole Miss in the fifth round.
Hines, too, in the receiving game is big. He has a lot of return ability. He was a big, impactful player in that area at NC State. He's not, and the thing, he's very small. I think he's 5'8", maybe 5'7", 5'8".
Yeah, he's not big.
But I'm not as concerned. You know, you look back last year with Donnell Pumphrey out of San Diego State, and he was extremely undersized. But he was thin, too. With Hines, I trust him a little bit more that, you know, he'll stay healthy. He's bigger, you know, even though he's 5'8", he's built bigger. I like him more out of that backfield, but I don't know. The Colts, their offensive line, so I know they got Quentin Nelson, but...
Hines is 5'8", 198, and Jordan Wilkins is 6'1", 216.
So even though you're 5'8", you're almost 200 pounds, you're built pretty well for that size.
If you're drafting them that close together, I mean, I don't really see how... or why necessarily one of them would have to fall into like a feature back role. It could be a situation where all three of those guys poison themselves and it's just a true running back by committee. Maybe one will be more productive than the other two, but it could be like really running back by committee, like on a given drive, one play each, you know, if it's a three and out. Like you could put two backs out at the same time, you know, you could put someone out there for pass catching and someone out there for running, but that's a tough spot to be able to discern, at least in drafts. Like, that could be a waiver wire thing to watch, but as far as, like, drafting those guys, that's going to be tough because there's just – you don't know which of the three.
How many Colts running backs do you think get drafted in fantasy drafts?
I say two. I think Marlon Mack's definitely getting drafted. I think Hines, too, just based on his ability, you know, his skill set. I would take him over Wilkins.
What's similar to me, I think, about this situation, but maybe we saw in Green Bay in the past couple years, is these are both going to be pass-first offenses, and you've got the committees, and you don't necessarily have one running back that a lot of people think more of than the other two. So, to me, that makes it completely up in the air, which is why I would like to be, like, I would like to have a guy in this backfield, but I'm going to take the last one. And right now, that would probably be Jordan Wilkins. And I'm not saying, right now, if I had to predict, just because he was the last guy drafted, and he's probably the third running back, but you never know. Like, last year with Green Bay, Ty Montgomery comes in, and he's supposed to be the guy, and this Aaron Jones comes out of absolutely nowhere, and he for a while becomes their starting running back.
Right,
I think that could be a situation.
After that,
right, I could think this could be a situation where maybe there's an injury, or maybe the Colts just say, okay, it's Mack and Hines. It's just not working for us.
I don't like
these. They're not giving us enough physicality.
Running back,
and they just throw Wilkinson and just see, hey, what the hell? And then he's a guy you should have in fantasy.
I don't like these committees where it's three not very talented players. You know, with at least in New England and Detroit, you can bank eventually that Johnson and Michelle will have a significant role. But you look at Green Bay and you look at this Colts situation in the backfield, you can't really predict who knew that Aaron Jones was going to be anything last year. I mean, this year, now we're banking on those two young guys in Green Bay, and it could probably we're riding off Ty Montgomery, but they used Ty Montgomery a lot before he got hurt. So I don't really like going after these committee teams with, you know, pretty evenly similar players based on talent. So I'm probably staying away from almost this entire Colts running back situation.
I would definitely stay away from it personally.
Yeah.
Last question on the rookie running backs. Touch on Royce Freeman a little bit here, because he also doesn't have much to compete with. He's got to compete with Devontae Booker in Denver, and really not much after that. And right now he is going as I scroll down here on FantasyPros.com's average draft position. He is going, well, Devontae Booker is going as the 46th running back. So, and I'm still scrolling, I still don't see him. So, he's not going very high. I've already passed Bo Scarborough, the running back out of Alabama, who is now with the Cowboys, I believe, right?
Yep.
I don't see him on here.
Freeman's
just not getting drafted right now.
I think he's a guy, he's gonna get touches, you know, and they brought in Case Keenum. We'll see how great that passing attack is. But 18 touchdowns in 2014 for Freeman, 17 the year after, 9, then 16. He has a nose for the end zone. He's not very impactful in the receiving game. He only had 14 receptions last year, so in a PPR league.
And Booker
I would personally,
is pretty good in the passing game, so that's probably going to be his.
I'd rather maybe take a chance on a guy like Kalen Ballage from Arizona State in the Miami backfield. You know, had 44 receptions back in 2016. So when I'm going late now and I'm looking for these, maybe these flyer rookie running backs, I want to see, you know, do they have big playability? Are they a threat in the receiving game? And I don't know. Freeman just seems pretty limited when it comes to his talent.
Oh, Freeman's actually going 39th. I missed him. He's going higher than Booker. 39th. He's going right before Nick Chubb, LeGarrette Blount, and Donta Foreman in Houston. He's going right after Chris Thompson, Isaiah Crowell, who's with the Jets now, and both the Green Bay running backs, Ty Montgomery and Aaron Jones.
You can't argue with opportunity for touches, and that's what Freeman represents here in Denver.
All right. Let's move on to a rookie running back from last season, and Nick is the owner of this running back in our two-player keeper league. I'm talking about Christian McCaffrey. And the Panthers made a signing I think it was last week. They signed C.J. Anderson out of Denver. So, Nick, I want to get your take on this first, since you are a McCaffrey owner. C.J. Anderson comes in, and I think probably the feeling is he's probably just going to give you what Jonathan Stewart gives you. Is that the way you're thinking right now?
Yeah, yes.
And how much of a threat is he to McCaffrey?
I think he'll slot right into that Stewart role, and I think McCaffrey will have a similar role to last year, maybe with increased touches. But the thing about Anderson is I think he's better than Stewart was last year. So with him being more productive, it could go two ways. It could be he could get more carries because he's actually being more productive, or it could just turn into, all right, the offense is better, we're going to open it up. You know, they got to collapse on the box for Anderson's carries. Now McCaffrey's got single coverage. Or Funchess has single coverage, and it just opens up the entire offense, and all the Carolina Panthers become better. It could go really one of two ways, and I would probably say that it'll end up being he'll be about as good as Jonathan Stewart was last year, maybe, you know, a little bit better, just more yards per carry, but I think the opportunity will be the same. Last year, Christian McCaffrey was really a player who was like almost exclusively a wide receiver that you could just put in your running back slot, because that's just how the Panthers use him.
213 touches for Stewart last year that are just, you know, up for grabs. And C.J. Anderson, like you said, I agree, he's a better player than Jonathan Stewart, who only averaged 3.5 yards a carry last year. I think Anderson's going to have a role in this offense for sure. And, you know, the Panthers added D.J. Moore in the first round. Curtis Samuel should be back from his injury last year. He suffered midway through, and after they traded Kelvin Benjamin, Samuel was a pretty impactful player in that offense, not just in the receiving game, but he played running back a lot at Ohio State, and they used him in reverses. You know, they like to use the triple option, so Samuel is part of that. They traded for Torrey Smith. So the Panthers have tried to add weapons around Cam Newton, so there's more people to take touches away from McCaffrey, but 213, you know, total touches available from Jonathan Stewart. I don't think those are all going to Anderson. I think McCaffrey will have a bigger role in the backfield this year. I mean, he's a bigger player. There was a big stereotype of McCaffrey coming, you know, into the draft last year was, you know, he's undersized, and everyone compared him to the likes of Deion Lewis and Danny Woodhead. But he's built like DeMarco Murray, you know, size and weight wise, and LeSean McCoy. So I think he can, if he gets an extended look this year, I think health wise McCaffrey should be okay. So I think he'll have a bigger workload in the running game this year with, you know, Stewart had 198 carries last year, but in the receiving game, he might not, he's still going to have a huge impact just based on his talent, but they've tried to add more weapons for Cam Newton because they were pretty one-dimensional last year in the receiving game.
That could change, though, because I'm sure what you're saying is a real possibility where they want to have McCaffrey have an increased role in the backfield, but he struggled as a runner last year. If they don't see any true development from him, mm-hmm. out of the backfield next year, Anderson's plenty capable of taking all those carries.
McCaffrey right now is going as the 12th running back. How does it, gut feeling, how does that sound for you? Before I even, we're going to play the higher or lower game in a second.
I would take him lower. I think he's a little bit overvalued at that position.
I think it's about right.
12th? Okay, so let's play the higher or lower game. Let's start with the guys that are below him. Higher or lower than LeSean McCoy?
He should be lower.
Lower.
Higher or lower than Devonta Freeman?
Lower.
Lower.
Higher or lower than Joe Mixon?
Higher.
I think he should be lower.
Higher or lower than Derrick Henry?
Higher. I am not liking Henry's value this year.
And then Jarek McKinnon?
Lower.
We're big Jarek McKinnon lovers. McKinnon's going as the 18th running back. So I think we would probably have him in that, I don't know, mid to, but that mid range, that mid RB2 range.
Yeah. Only right three, now. He averaged 3.7 yards a carry last year, so you're right, you know, on 117 touches. He did struggle as a runner. I don't think they want McCaffrey to be a one-dimensional back for them. That's why
I think he'll struggle, if he's not producing.
But how often did he really get the opportunity to, you know, see four or five carries in a row where Stewart wasn't rotating in with him and he had a chance to get into a rhythm? You know, he was a rotational running back there with Stewart. And I know it's probably going to be the same with Anderson, but maybe I feel like they're going to try to give him an extended look back there.
He could never be their number one running back, and he could still be a great fantasy running back. The Patriots guys the past couple years have proven that you can get solid fantasy production even if the guy's getting no carries.
Anderson could be a touchdown stealer too.
Yeah, that could be.
McCaffrey didn't score that many touchdowns.
But especially in like a PPR league, McCaffrey can come in, he could catch 100 balls, he could run for 400 yards and still be RB1.
That's the thing. He had 80 receptions last year. That's fringe number one receiver. Yeah. He had 5 touchdowns in the receiving game and pretty much 700 yards. Those are number two receiver stats.
More running back news from the past couple weeks. Mark Ingram suspended 4 games for violating the league's policy on performance-enhancing drugs. Ingram appealed, and the next day it was denied. So he is not playing in those first 4 games. So we will see what he looks like coming back off of that. But, you know, those first 4 games, like, it's Alvin Kamara's show for the first 4 games. So I'm interested in your guys' thoughts of where this puts both guys. Ingram right now is going as the 17th running back. And remember, we've dealt with this before. Like, Le'Veon Bell's been suspended before. We had to figure out how low do you drop him. Ezekiel Elliott was suspended. But last year, that was a whole different story. Because he was suspended, but we had no idea when he was going to be suspended.
After the 30 appeals, right. we finally got our answer.
His draft value was affected by that. So Ingram, a little bit different because he's not quite the elite running back those guys are, even though last year's numbers would have told you that he is, but it's really the only time he's ever done that in his career. So how big a drop-off does this put in your mind for Mark Ingram and where people should be picking him?
Pretty big, but not only because of the suspension, but also because he's still holding out for a new contract. He's missing voluntary workouts. He's arguing
he still wants a new contract, even though he's suspended.
But that's what
that's
I'm saying.
The funny part.
So he's gonna, not only is he going to miss 4 games, but he's also probably going to miss a large chunk of their offseason program, which could, I mean, he could come back week 5. They could say, okay, Mark, you know, let's turn over a new stone. Here you go. First carry of the game, hamstring, 3 weeks. I mean, that to me, like, that's – I would just stay away from Ingram this year personally. I mean, unless he fell really, really low and I needed a back and just kind of like, okay, let's take a flyer here. Because it could turn out to be a real disaster for him in a contract year.
And at that point, too, you know, last year Ingram – Ingram was really good.
He's top five running back.
Really good. And he himself had 60 receptions last year. So – you know, but the difference, I think, between last year and this year, not only is the four games, but that gives Kamara 4 games to just absolutely tear it up. And it's not going to be the same as last year when Kamara was the third guy behind, you know, Ingram and AP last year. So Ingram had an early opportunity to get it going, and you didn't want to take him off the field. But this year, if Kamara shows he's an elite running back, I don't think you're going to see the whole 60-40, 50-50 split you saw between Kamara and Ingram last year, because Kamara took a little bit longer to see opportunities. Where if Kamara blows up in the first 4 games, Ingram is not going to see the production he had last year.
That's the other thing. If I'm Sean Payton and Mark Ingram walks in my office and says, I want a contract extension, I'm going to be like, are you kidding me? Like, you're joking, right? You just got suspended, and you want a new contract. We might have an elite running back.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get a contract even before.
Might take carries from you anyway. So I don't think he's going to get that new deal. I do think, of course, he'll be with the Saints this season. I think he's going to come back from those 4 games, and I think like what Lou says might be right. Instead of a 50-50 split, I think we could see a situation where maybe it's 70-30 in favor of Kamara, because he has the ability where he could just blow up those first 4 games.
Where do you take Ingram?
Well, right now he's going 17th in for running backs. He's going about round round 4. I think I would have to bump him down to about round 6 or 7.
I wouldn't even really have him on my board unless I'm really deep at running back and I want to take a flyer on one, you know, in the mid later rounds, because
he could be a guy though. He has a lot of upside, because we saw he still has really good ability. Like last year, splitting a backfield, he still ended up as a top 5 running back. So he could He could do it.
Last year was his only true standout season.
That's true, too.
And then he got busted for PED. So what's that going to look like coming back?
He was juicing.
You could have just looked at Mark Ingram and said, PEDs.
Oh, you can look at the entire NFL and just see the needles falling out of their bodies as they run around.
How about on the other side of this? Kamara right now, he is going higher than he was a week ago. Last week he was going as the 8th running back. Right now he's going as the 5th. The only guys going ahead of him are Gurley, Bell, Elliott, and David Johnson. He's going ahead of guys like Kareem Hunt, Leonard Fournette, Melvin Gordon, Saquon Barkley right now. Does that seem fair for him? 5th running back. Last year, remember, he finishes the 2.
Which is crazy considering where he was in the beginning
of the
season.
He was the 3rd running back to start the season.
I think it is fair. Kareem Hunt dropped off a little bit towards the end of last year, and
he's giving you more in the pass game than those three especially are. Hunt, Fournette, Gordon.
But then again, what is the Chiefs' offense like? Just specifically between Kamara and Hunt, two rookie running backs last year, like, what does the Chiefs' offense look like this year? It could be great or it could be terrible. I mean, really, it all depends on Mahomes. But if Mahomes is great,
they've got enough weapons too.
You
can't stack
offense.
The box right. If Mahomes looks good. You're not going to be able to stack the box with Sammy Watkins, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce.
Well, that's the thing, too. The Saints didn't really add anybody for Drew Brees this year. So it's still going to be without
talking
even
about, they added Ben Watson, didn't they?
Elite
Ben Watson.
But that's the thing. Like, they didn't add anybody in the passing game. So it's really just, I mean, they lost Willie Snead, although they didn't really use him last year anyway. So it's Michael Thomas, and then there's no Mark Ingram for the first month of the year. And you saw, Kamara finished 2nd last year with being almost non-existent the first month of the season. This year he's got 4 free games without Mark Ingram, and him being the focal point of the offense. He's definitely a top. He's a top 4 back. The only guys I really like ahead of him right now, I would probably say, are Le'Veon, Gurley, and Johnson. I like Kamara better than Ezekiel Elliott at this point.
One more topic before I want to debate about those guys, especially like conversation for number 1 overall. But before we do that, not really news, but it's more of like a bold prediction. David Johnson comes out this week on a Good Morning Football, and he says. And he said this last year, too. He's going for 1,000 rushing yards, and he's going for 1,000 receiving yards. Do we think this is a realistic thing, or is this just talk?
Is Sam Bradford his quarterback?
Yeah, that's...
It could be Rosen.
He can get 2,000 receiving yards if Sam Bradford's his quarterback.
It's probably likely that Bradford plays some games and ends up getting injured, and Josh Rosen's his quarterback.
Get injured. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
But is that a huge drop-off from what Carson Wentz was, or Carson Palmer was 2 years ago, when Johnson had the best fantasy football season in decades?
Palmer last year is more when he fell off. 2 years ago, Palmer wasn't bad.
He was all right. He wasn't quite what he was the year before.
And I guess
though.
Bradford really hasn't been terrible either.
Right.
He's also been.
And Rosen's the pro-ready of these young quarterbacks.
Yeah, I don't know. As I talk this out, you're making me feel even better about David Johnson than I thought was possible.
Just saying, when Sam Bradford played quarterback, Dalvin Cook and Bradford pretty much got hurt around the same point, and I owned Dalvin Cook last year in my only league. And Dalvin Cook, with Bradford in the receiving game, Dalvin Cook was a top three back but when he went down. And a lot of it was because Sam Bradford loves the running back swing passes, and I think David Johnson's going to be huge in that area. Christian Kirk got arrested. They did invest a second-round pick in him. So, but outside of Larry Fitzgerald, they don't have a lot to offer in the offensive side. I don't know if 1,000 receiving yards is realistic. I think he could get 100 receptions, though, and in this offense, he's going to be the guy. And even if Josh Rosen played, I like David Johnson to produce with Rosen.
So David Johnson could do it. He's of all the guys that are capable of 1,000 receiving and 1,000 rushing,
he's probably the only
him and Kamara. I would say
Gurley because of that offense.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. It's him, but who knows what that offense is going to look like?
There's so many options.
1,000 and 1,000. You're assuming that Arizona's offense is good, which I don't think is safe to assume at this point.
So 2 years ago was his monster year. He had 2,100 yards from scrimmage, just over 1,200 yards rushing, just under 900 yards receiving. He had 80 receptions that year.
Really?
So if he gets up to like 90 receptions and he keeps his yards per reception around the same. Like, it could be, to me, it's realistic. Let's talk percentage odds and what you think it might be. Because to me, I think it's realistic, but I don't think it's very likely. I would say maybe it's 15%.
I would say 10%, and I don't think it's unrealistic for him to get 2,000 yards from scrimmage again, but I think more of those are going to come from in the backfield. Like, really, does it matter if he gets 1,000 and 1,000 or 1,200 and 800? Not really.
Not really. Because his receptions are going to be enormously high for running back.
I think it's around 10%. But I'm with Nick that he could probably see maybe 2,200 yards this year. Because I think David Johnson's, he's not an 1,100-yard back. He could get 1,400 yards this year and 800 receiving yards, and you're looking at a 2,200-yard from scrimmage back.
If you ask me what the percentage was for him to get 2,000 yards from scrimmage, I would say 70%.
Yeah, I think those are bigger odds than him being a 1,000-yard receiver.
Last year, he even proved it. He played one game. And he ran the ball like crap. Like, he was awful. 11 carries for 23 yards. He still ended up with 90 yards because he had 6 catches for 70 yards. Like, that's just the player he is. Even if he's not running the ball well, he's going to end up getting yards. All right, let me transition that into this debate because he is a part of this debate. I'm not sure he would be the guy on top, but who is the top fantasy running back right now? Or who is the top fantasy overall pick? Right now, it's all running backs that are in the conversation for it. Gurley right now is going as the number one guy. And there's a little bit of a drop-off, and then there's three guys. It's Le'Veon Bell, Ezekiel Elliott, and David Johnson. They're all going very close to each other in that 2-3-4 spot. So is Gurley the number one back, and is it close between him and those other three guys?
I think it's David Johnson is the number one back, and only it's because of the type of injury he had last year.
Wrist injury.
Wrist injury. That's not something that's super detrimental to a running back, like a leg injury would be, or even an upper body injury that could just be a pain issue.
He also said he could have come back last season if the team was competitive. Like, right. If they were in a playoff race, he would have played last year.
So, really, there's nothing, like, there's no reason for me to think he'd be any worse than he was 2 years ago, and he was widely considered number one overall draft pick last year. So, what's different? I mean, Gurley had a great season, but he doesn't provide quite, I mean, it's close. Don't get me wrong. We're splitting hairs here, but I don't think he
provides. It's almost based on personal preference.
Right.
When you're this high, because they're all going to be so good. That's the thing.
You have to think, because they're all elite talent. Yeah. Who has the most risk?
Honestly, you got to look at their situation. So to me, I say Le'Veon Bell is one, and it's to me a toss up between him and David Johnson, because they're both guys that are going to end up, you know, lining up in the slot as receivers a lot of the time. And Gurley, he doesn't pose as big of a threat in that area. He is still a really good receiver. But the Rams added Brandon Cooks, who's going to be better than Sammy Watkins was last year for the Rams. And Watkins scored 8 touchdowns. I know he only had 500, you know, almost 600 receiving yards. And Zeke is kind of in the same boat there where, you know, he's a good receiver, but there's a little bit more upside with Bell and Johnson because of how good they are, elite receiving backs. And to me, and you don't have to worry about a Mark Ingram coming back for David Johnson or for Le'Veon. So it's just based on the other guys, their situations. They're all going to be elite, but I think Le'Veon and David Johnson have a little bit more upside. It's crazy to think any of these guys have upside. I feel like they've reached, you know, they're all elite, but based on situations, I want to have my elite running back also be an elite receiver in this area, especially with half-point PPR leagues.
Ezekiel Elliott might have to be their number one receiver this year.
True.
He might have to be. I don't think, I mean, as much as Dez Bryant has struggled during his time with Dak Prescott, like, they at least tried. I mean, they throw it his way, and who knows what the issue was, whether it was Dez running wrong routes or not getting open, enough separation, or whether it was Dak missing throws, or who knows what it was, because we're not in that huddle. But now Zeke is in a situation where he really might have to be that entire offense for the Cowboys.
You're not scared
success.
Of Tavon Austin taking snaps away from him at
web
back.
Web back. That's right. We got to add that position to fantasy football. Web back.
Not terrified of Tavon Austin taking away carries from Zeke, are we?
No.
Okay. So
maybe a little bit.
Quickly on that. Quick question. So the coach talk or it's BS. I think. Jason Garrett. I think it was Jason Garrett, or maybe it was the Cowboys GM. That's Jerry Jones, comes out and says that they're looking for 16 to 20 touches for Tavon Austin in the game. I think it's complete BS. I think there's no chance.
I don't think it's BS. I mean, it
could be pretty realistic.
Maybe it points to them giving him more looks than maybe we might have thought for a guy you're getting for a sixth-round pick. But 16 to 20 touches is insanity for a guy that's not a starting player.
Tavon Austin is super talented, though. Like, he's not bad. I mean, he was drafted way too high, and that's going to stay with him forever. But he's a guy that, if you use him the right way, can be effective. He's got speed. He's got the ability to make guys miss in open space. Like, if you're
lacking for playmakers.
Prescott likes those kind of players, too.
Yeah.
Cole Beasley, give him Switzer.
Touches. Give him a five-yard slant and just, you know, see if he gets 15 out of it. You know what I mean? He's got that type of ability.
All this being said, though, I do think Gurley is the top running back. He's the guy I would pick number one overall. Johnson is two, and I think those two are very close together. The reason I would pick Gurley over Johnson is I just think the team he's on, there is a lot of opportunity for him to, like, wind out the clock.
He's also in a contract year.
Sure. That helps,
too. So he's trying
to
get paid.
That helps,
Players
too.
Are always good in their contract years.
The Rams, if they're as good as they built this team to be, they're going to be leading in a lot of games, and Gurley's going to be getting a ton of carries. So while Johnson doesn't have that same factor, I do think Johnson, his value will be fine because if the Cardinals are catching up, he's going to get a lot of receptions that way. But that's not a guarantee that he's going to get the ball when Bradford drops back the pass every time.
It's a fine line because if the Rams are up 21 points.
Oh, then he comes out?
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be.
Hey, bro, you're not scared of John Kelly from Tennessee coming in as a late-round pick?
I don't even know who that is.
Alvin Kamara was a not highly thought-of Tennessee running back.
I'm a fan of John Kelly. It stinks that he's in L.A., but
who do you think has the most risk of these guys, though? To me, it's Elliott.
Johnson, just because he was off last year, but I still think
I don't know.
He has the most risk, but I'm super willing to take it.
I think none of them are very
Bell
risky.
Bell is the oldest.
I would probably say Bell's the oldest, but he's still only 27.
He also doesn't rely on his speed. Bell is a guy that will just wait for people to run past him, and then the end zone is just in front of him.
What is it?
30 minutes to run.
Sure.
Is it Kamara just because of the type of player he is? And
well, I didn't even have Kamara in this discussion. Is Kamara deserved to be in this tier?
I think he should be in this discussion.
In this tier, probably not the discussion for first. These other guys are too strong.
To me,
it's so hard to separate these players.
To me, you look at fantasy football leagues around the league. By the way, he has a huge – there's a big drop-off between fourth and fifth. Right now, Johnson and Elliott are both going at, they're averaging just over third overall, and Kamara is 5.5.
I don't even want to say that.
So there's a big drop after that.
We talked about David Johnson with his injury, but Le'Veon Bell has suffered big injuries in the
knee
past.
Injuries,
so has Todd Gurley's had a knee injury before. I don't think any of these players pose to be a big risk. The good thing that Gurley has going for him, too, is Jared Goff, who looks to him a lot. I'm not going to compare him to Sam Bradford, but he's similar in that way where Goff's not extending plays and looking to, you know, just make plays deep down the field all the time. He stays within the system, and the system right now is Todd Gurley. So it's a toss-up. I would go with Lev right now, but, God, you're not going to really be angry with any of these players.
I want to talk about one more rookie that I forgot to bring up in the discussion. It's not a running back. It was our first episode on the WGR Fantasy Podcast since the NFL draft happened. And then we're going to talk just a little bit about the Bills here in the last part. I think they are starving for players that anyone in fantasy might want. So, but before we do that, I want to talk a little bit about Calvin Ridley, who a lot of people thought was the number one receiver in this draft class. I don't think he's the number one fantasy receiver because of where he ends up, and it's not because of the offense. He's in Atlanta, and they're going to be passing the ball a lot, but there's a lot of mouths to feed there, whereas you got DJ Moore over in Carolina, and I don't really like any of the other receivers on that team that isn't named Christian McCaffrey. So what do we think about Calvin Ridley, where he ended up, and now where does this affect any of these Atlanta receivers and where you might pick them?
It brings to me, outside of Julio Jones, like the other supporting cast players in Atlanta, it brings him down a little bit, but not really enough to keep me away from drafting them. But Ridley's role is, I think, going to be limited, just like you said, because there's only one ball. There's only one ball and
two running backs too, I should have mentioned, that also get a lot of receptions.
It's going to be tough for him to be really productive. DJ Moore has a nice chance in Carolina, like I was talking about earlier. If that offense really opens up between Cam Newton and just adding C.J. Anderson, if he's better than Jonathan Stewart, like that offense has a real chance to be really good, and they can recapture that form that they had a couple of years back.
I really don't like rookie receivers, you know, outside of that 2014 historic class. Normally, rookie receivers aren't huge, you know, impactful players in the NFL, and then especially in fantasy football. But
well, you've been burned by them the past couple of years. Laquon Treadwell did not play for Minnesota. Last year, John Ross.
That was my guy.
Ross.
John Ross barely. I don't even know if he played either. You didn't really get anything from. Who goes after John Ross?
Corey Davis was nothing in
Corey
Tennessee.
Davis. That's right.
Mike Williams with the Chargers was hurt. And when he came in, I mean, it's all Keenan Allen. So, I mean, outside of Will Fuller, we haven't gotten a lot of production from young receivers
since the
2014 class. On the opposite side of that, Mohamed Sanu last year is the number two for Atlanta, 67 receptions, 700 yards, 5 touchdowns.
Is Ridley
getting that role?
All came in the end of that season, too. Sanu was a wide receiver, too, in the back half of last year. The thing, though, is about him is he is really naturally a slot receiver. So I'm not sure where Ridley really played at Alabama.
On the outside.
So I think that could fit where they might be on this field at the same time. But I do think, did you say Sanu had 57 catches?
Yeah,
I think
the
number
67.
Goes, 67? So. That number goes down.
Football is football, right? And if any of these other playmakers in the Atlanta offense get hurt for even a few weeks, you could see Calvin Ridley expand his role then. And who knows, if he tears it up, maybe you just invent touches for him if you're the Falcons.
Yeah, I maybe have him as my wide receiver 5. He could be a good bench player, but I'm not investing a lot in him, and just not any rookie receivers really in general.
Let's play a little higher lower with Calvin Ridley in the depth receiver conversation. Ooh. Calvin Ridley right now is going as the 50th wide receiver. Would you pick him higher or lower than DJ Moore?
Lower.
Higher.
DJ Moore is he's the one rookie receiver I really like this year.
Higher or lower than DeSean Jackson in Tampa?
Lower.
I would go lower too. Yeah.
Marquise Lee in Jacksonville.
Lower. Marquise Lee might be the guy there. I know they have Moncrief, but...
And he played great last year. He really did. He was plenty productive when he played.
Yeah. Michael Gallup in Dallas.
Higher.
Higher. I'm not the potential. Staying away from Dallas.
Terrell Pryor in New York for the Jets.
Lower. I think not really. I mean, I don't know. You can't really draft Terrell Pryor high, but he still has the talent.
Yeah, I'll go lower, too.
Paul Richardson in Washington.
Lower.
Because if Josh Doctson continues to struggle this year, Richardson's probably the one, you know, the number one in Washington.
We're still going here. Kenny Golladay in Detroit.
Lower.
How about Ted Ginn with the Saints?
Lower.
They lost Willie Snead.
I'm going lower.
Definitely lower.
We're still going. We're almost at 60. How about Josh Doctson in Washington?
Lower. Doctson's upside's better. He has the opportunity to be the number one. Julio Jones is going to be the majority of the
key. He was
disagreeing with fantasy owners here. I agree with both of you so far. He was
a first-round pick, Doctson was. They're going to invest in him.
Yeah. So.
Kenny Stills in Miami.
Lower.
I'm going Stills. Yeah.
Rishard Matthews in Tennessee.
Lower.
I think I would take Ridley
there. Draft them at
lower.
The same
spot. No Eric Decker this year. Matthews is the number two behind Davis.
D.D. Westbrook in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I don't know. Westbrook's really tough to compare to because he had nothing last year, right? But he's super talented. I would say
I'm going lower.
No,
I'd take
little higher.
Westbrook here.
Little
really?
Higher.
I'll end it here with his teammate, Mohamed Sanu.
Lower.
Sanu's going into the slot?
Well, he always played the slot.
Yeah.
Taylor Gabriel was the one playing outside last year. When they're in three receiver sets, I'm sorry. Like when they had two guys out there, Sanu sure was playing outside.
I'll take Ridley over Sanu just based on upside.
All right. Don't like Calvin Ridley this year.
I just don't like rookie receivers in general.
Let's do a little bit on the Bills here before we wrap up. Buffalo Bills don't really draft much of anything in terms of offensive weapons. They get Ray McLeod, who has a great name.
Austin Prohl.
In the seventh round. So not really anything that you're going to be looking to draft in terms of what the Bills got in the NFL draft. So what are we looking at now, fantasy-wise? Who's draftable? To me, there are only three guys. I think it's Charles Clay, who is a low-end tight end one, probably going into the year. LeSean McCoy, who, of course, I think is going to be in that RB1 conversation.
Yeah.
And then you've got Calvin Benjamin, who I don't really know what to do with right now in terms of a wide receiver.
So McCoy is the guy. Who's starting at quarterback? This is my thing. McCarron, to me, kills almost everybody's value because I would rather have Josh Allen for these other guys to be impactful players in fantasy and this year for the Bills. The only draftable players I would say are Benjamin and Clay are draftable just based on Benjamin's going to be the number one. I hope Allen's the guy for him. I think they would connect better than, you know, McCarron and Calvin Benjamin. But, you know, outside of the top, what, seven rounds, I think McCoy is really it.
Yeah, I agree. I think McCoy, it doesn't really affect him plays quarterback, but those other two, I think Charles Clay and Calvin Benjamin, I think their value probably goes up to me if Josh Allen's in there.
Agreed.
I do think Josh Allen makes a lot more mistakes than a guy like A.J. McCarron,
I think he'll
but
give them more
for fantasy weapons, it helps.
Yes. I think he'll give them more opportunities for big plays, and I think having a guy with a big catch radius like Calvin Benjamin would be very helpful for Allen playing in year one, but you know, McCarron, he played decently with A.J. Green those couple games that he started a couple years ago, but McCarron's tape was suspect when he was in there with Cincinnati last year. There's so much at unknown at quarterback that I'm staying away from anything in the Bills' passing game this year.
One more guy that I just want to bring up for the Bills' pass game is Zay Jones, and he had an interesting offseason, to say the least, but he is still... he's still written in there as their number two wide receiver, although he'll probably play slot. He's still their number two wide receiver.
I was going to say, when he moves in the slot, I like his value more.
He will play slot.
Yeah,
like that,
if he
I
plays
think
slot,
that's where he'll play.
Yeah. But I'm just not touching
him. He's a guy I might take a flyer on late in drafts just because there is opportunity there where he's going to be on the field pretty much all the time.
Yeah.
Whether it's slot receiver in three receiver sets or on the outside in a two receiver set, I think he's going to be on the field, which to me, if I got room for a wide receiver in one of my last couple picks, then he is a guy I would be worth taking a flyer on in that Bills offense.
Yeah, he's a guy I'd take maybe a late round flyer on. He fits a lot better in the slot. I thought he played better going into, you know, the second half of the year last year with the Bills, but McCoy, and that's really what you got at the Bills offenses here in fantasy.
All right, that'll do it for us here on the WGR Fantasy Football Podcast. Joe DiBiase, Lou DiBiase, and Nick Lozanowski talking fantasy with you here over the past hour or so. I'm not even sure where we're at right now time-wise. We will have more fantasy content throughout the offseason as we get closer to the NFL season here on WGR. Keep up to date in our on-demand audio, WGR550.com. Thank you to the Disciples of Smoke for our beautiful theme song here on the Joe DiBiase Fantasy Football Podcast. Later, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.